For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio high on Sassafras Mountain. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Wow, I feel good. Oh, great. It's the weekend. It's Saturday. It's time to set aside all this political BS and everything of that nature. Enjoy some football games. Go hunting this morning. Go hunting tomorrow morning. And enjoy the outdoors. Good grief. Aren't you sick of all this stuff? Well, man, I am. I know it means more than anything else along the way this weekend. But nevertheless, you can start the political diatribe again on Monday. So welcome to the program, everyone. If you'd like to join us on the show this morning, you may call 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Among the subjects we're handling this morning, I'm asking you two, whatever it is the subject that you're calling, that you tell me who is your favorite television outdoor show host. And don't make it O'Neill. Besides O'Neill, okay? I don't need to be flattered. My ego's big enough already. So, fishing is great and getting better. It's the opening day of the primitive weapon season, i.e. the muzzleloader season in Georgia. Deer hunting is great all over the South. It's time to take a kid hunting and fishing, and why not do it today? I always suggest, however, that you make sure that if you're going to take a child, a little boy, a little girl, a relative, whatever, maybe an amateur, somebody that wants to know about the outdoors, tell them way ahead of time so they can plan on it and enjoy it day after day after day, and that way they can enjoy it forever. So let's start off this morning by talking to Jonathan. He's calling from Covington, Georgia. Good morning, Jonathan. It's O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing, sir?
Lovely. It's a great Saturday coming up. What about you?
Well, I was just calling to talk to you about Lake Sinclair. I'm one of Travis Johnson's good friends, and I think he made it back from his hunting trip over there.
Man, what a life that guy's leading, huh?
He's going to make it big one day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, I'm hosting a fishing tournament down here today at a little river, and I heard that they postponed the demolition of the smokestack till today.
It's postponed it until today?
Yeah, they were supposed to implode last weekend, but I guess with the hurricane, they...
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Boy, that'll be a spectacular sight. You going to be there for that?
So we're fishing out a little river park, so we get the front row view of it, but I was just wondering, is that going to mess up any of the guys coming to our tournament?
I'm sure it's very tightly controlled and safe for everybody concerned. Jonathan is talking about is the plant there at I forgot now. What's the name of that plant?
I'm not sure. It's the Georgia Power plant.
Yes, yeah, Georgia Power, and it's a coal-fired plant, and they're dismantling the wheel or collapsing the smokestacks because that plant is being disengaged. But I don't know. It'd be a spectacular sight, but I'm sure it's safe for everybody concerned.
That'll work.
You bet. Georgia Power is about as good a company as it come. Southern Company and Georgia Power, they do everything right. They've been I've been associated with them for 24 years, and there's never, ever been anything that I've ever seen or heard of that they didn't do precisely 100% smart, patient, and safe.
That's right.
Every time. Absolutely. Hey, good luck today on Sinclair. You bass fishing?
Yeah, we're bass fishing.
Yeah. Okay. Go up
All
the
right.
river.
Have a good one.
All right, boy. You have a good, right. Safe trip. Call you me too. Back. Oh, who's your favorite television show host?
Well, you know it's Travis Johnson out there.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Neil Williams.
Yeah, well, there you go. You're very kind. Have a good, safe trip, pal.
Yes, sir. Good dogs.
You bet. See you soon. Hey, here's our old buddy, Mac. Mac's checking in about Lake Lanier. What do you say?
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
I'm just fine. And how about you? And are you going out today?
I'm on my way right now. See if we can catch a couple.
I bet you do. In stripers, we'll assign it or restrict it to one species. What's the biggest number of stripers you ever caught in a day, guiding?
60?
Mm-hmm. 60?
Yes, and that happened last year in the, 2 years ago, December.
Man, you had one on all the time.
Pretty much somebody's reeling. Every time I turn around, somebody's reeling a fish.
That's great. What a trip you gave those people. Good grief.
It was a customer's name was Bill Langley. Good fisherman, great guy. He fished with me several times. It was one of those days where just everything lined up, and they were good fishermen. So I had them going to where they made us really efficient, but didn't catch a lot of big fish that day. They were pretty average size, but still, it was a day to remember.
My goodness, 60.
Yeah, that's. I told him not to come back. We're at the top of the mountain right here.
Yeah, no kidding. They ought to quit.
Y'all set the bar too high. I don't want you back.
Yeah, you can't top that. Let's stop. Let's retire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
no kidding. On average, when you take and you fish 5 days a week, Mac?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, out of 5 days a week, what's the average in when, you know, a good time? I'm talking about average in when fishing is good. What's the average number of fish that you catch during the trip?
If you did a 5-hour trip and you averaged it out in peak times, it's probably going to be low double digits, I'm guessing. I could actually probably come up with that number looking back through my records if I was diligent enough to compile all that data. But you know, like in the summer months when fishing's good, it's easy to get 10, 12, 14 fish, and which would be most of the year except turnover time.
Yeah.
Or maybe in the dead of winter or, you know, post-frontal stuff when you got a lot of weather anomalies. But in good, stable weather, yeah, you ought to be thinking double digits. And I tell people that are new to the lake, if you're learning to striper fish, probably ought to be thinking in terms of fish an hour. That's an average. Then, you know, it never is going to work out like that. But, you know, it might be 15 one trip and two the next, but. If you fish 5 hours, I think you'll be thinking of fishing average. If you're into the, if, once you understand it and you're a proficient fisherman, then you'll be thinking double digits for a 5-hour trip.
You know, I remember stating this years ago when we all used to tournament bass fish so much, and you did it just like I did. If you catch a fish an hour in BASS tournament competition, over the course of a year, you're in the Bassmasters Classic.
That's just about a guarantee.
One per hour.
That's a lot of work to get that one fish.
You betcha. One that qualifies. Yeah, that's exactly right.
If you fish locally and you fish most tournaments, if you can catch a fish an hour, you are probably in good shape.
Oh, you're going to finish in the money most of the time.
Most of the time.
You bet.
And if you can be that consistent, if you've got a classic or some end-of-the-year classic like that, you're in. If you can get that kind of consistency, you're in.
You know, it's always about O'Neill, and I will tell you, when I won the Georgia Bass Angler Championship in 1979, I won that championship over a 10-tournament season. I caught a fish an hour, and I never, ever weighed in the heaviest fish in a tournament. And I won the championship.
Yep, it was a long way.
No kidding. All right, you know what? So what's up for your what's up for the weekend or coming up over the next few weeks at Lanier for stripers?
Well, striper fishing's been okay. We're fighting some effects of turnover. Fish are really, really scattered out.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, they're so scattered out up both, and when I say that I mean all over the lake and all throughout the water column. So what you're going to find, almost any technique you choose will produce a fish or two.
I got you.
So it's there's not a real dominant pattern.
you know, live bait is probably going to be hard to beat. A downline over a 30-foot bottom is probably going to be the most consistent thing if the wind will let you do that. Umbrellas pulled over humps, if you're diligent about that, that's fairly consistent. But you're going to work hard for your bites unless you just luck up and find some schooling fish, which today the weather's a little more conducive to that. Maybe we see some fish. But typical turnover stuff, just keep that in the mind. Fish are really, really scattered out.
Mm-hmm.
And move a lot. If you're not catching them, keep moving. Be versatile because you may catch fish shallow, you may catch fish deep. But a lot of the activity, if I could put it in a nutshell, a lot of the activity seems to be centering around submerged islands and humps or long flat tapering points, 30, 35-foot bottom. If that condenses it, that's the best advice I could probably give somebody.
Good, good. 30, 35-foot bottom umbrella or live bait over something you can see.
Yeah, down rod, uh-huh. Park on a high place or a big long flat tapering point, hit that depth range. Park there with your baits or pull a rig over that. Keep something tied on, though.
Uh-huh.
Cast at schooling fish. You may never see one today, but they're up and down so quickly you don't have time to be rummaging through your tackle box to find something. And
right.
I would tie on a bucktail because they cast well in the wind. They cast a long way. They're really pretty efficient with that big single hook. And mm-hmm. Topwater's fun, and that's what everybody wants to throw at the schoolers. But don't. A bucktail may give you a little edge in distance mm-hmm. and efficiency.
And let me add one thing to that, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Flatten the barb on the hook.
Yes. And are you going to tell everybody why, or you want me to? Because that's a good point.
Go ahead.
What you will do, you'll find inevitably, I think you get a better hook set because you don't have to stick the barb through. You just got to be diligent about keeping your line tight, because if you give the fish slack with a barbless hook, he's going to fall off. The jig just falls out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a better hook set. When you get the fish to the boat, you can get him off the hook.
Yes, don't damage the fish.
You don't even have to touch
him. Mm-hmm.
Just give him some slack there at the boat, and you throw your jig back out there and catch
him. That's right, and he'll just swim away.
He'll swim away. It's easier on the fish. It's quicker for you. It's actually more efficient. You just have to be really diligent about keeping your line tight.
That's right. And one other thing I might add, and I just thought of it, and getting awfully technical here, but I don't mind, and that is when you're casting a bucktail jig into what you think is a schooling fish out there, usually it's at the end of the cast. So that line stretch, mm-hmm. that barb has to be flattened, and you'll get that hook set better.
It makes an easier hook set. And
yes,
we all work diligently to keep the line tight once we get the fish hooked anyway. So you're not doing anything different.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier, like I said, it's easier all the way. That makes the whole process easier.
When I go to Canada every year, in Ontario, all hooks have to be flattened, all barbs. I don't think I ever lose a fish because of it.
Nope.
Ever. Ever. All right, what's the website, Mac?
Captain Mac, CaptainMacs.com. And you can book. We actually have, you can see our calendar and book us online. And,
oh, that's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you can book it on a mobile device now. So we're moving forward.
Oh, man, it's unbelievable.
But yeah, it is.
All right, have a good, safe day, pal. I know you'll catch a bunch, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks, O'Neill. Have a good one.
You bet. All right, Ron and JJ, you guys hold on. O'Neill will be back.
Elvira. Elvira.
Have you guys ever... are you made arrangements to get the Adventure Outdoors newsletter, their flyer? It comes in every single week. I don't know how these guys do it, but they change up every week and they have discounts on everything. But more than anything, the deals are great. But when you go to Adventure Outdoors there in Smyrna, and I'm looking at the list right here, then you've got 20% off, 10% off, 20% off, 10%. But the thing is, when you go to Adventure Outdoors, the gun choices, the choices for ammo, for shotguns, rifles, pistols, automatic weapons, I don't call them that, but assault rifles is nothing else. They have over 100 yards of guns. And I'm telling you, it really does work. 20% off on all their fall items. You have many, many choices to make and many outstanding prices and fabulous inventory at Adventure Outdoors. You know where Adventure Outdoors is? It's on South Cobb Drive, just right around 285. Turn and head north, and it's on the left-hand side. Look for a parking lot that's full of cars. They've got the business. They got the fabulous inventory. And if you want pistols, shotguns, rifles, assault weapons, automatic weapons, and plenty of ammo, and I got to tell you what I love is they have a 17-station range so you can shoot, you can practice, and you can fire your weapon, and then you can have some barbecue in the smokehouse. Adventure Outdoors, but register for the newsletter. The flyer comes out every week. This is O'Neill.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
You're listening to O'Neill Outside Saturday mornings on WSB, and we're talking to Ron, and he's headed to the woods, I believe, this morning. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, O'Neill.
What do you say?
How are you?
Good.
I was calling about the outdoor host, stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, I think most of the guys out there, you know, they have their little niche here and there, you know, being hunted and things like that. I used to get a kick out of that Roger Ragland.
Oh, Roger Ragland. Yeah, he's sort of goofy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It kind of keeps it real, but it depends what you're looking for. I mean, when it comes to hunting, muscle loaded with you, you know, I get a kick out of the Wild Bill crew there, you know, with some of the trips they take. I lean towards the hunt shows, you know.
Hey, let me tell you something you'll find interesting about Roger Ragland. He is a concert pianist.
Really?
No kidding.
There was something about him. I used to just get. He was entertaining, but you know, a little educational. I think everybody, you can get something from everybody.
Yes.
Out there on these shows, you know, things like that. So that's why I say some regional stuff, things like that. You know.
That's right. He's a good guy, and you kind of you when you watch the show. That's what you get with him. You get Roger Ragland, but I thought it was interesting that O'Neill used to play the accordion.
Ah.
No kidding. And so did Jimmy Houston. O'Neill and Jimmy Houston have something in common, and that is when we were little kids, we played the accordion. I got to go, pal. Have a great day, okay?
Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates four times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. And we'll be here Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 a.m. for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
This is O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB. People have been holding on quite a while. Let's go right now to J.J. He's calling from Oxford, Georgia. My friend J.J., how are you?
Elvira, I like your bumper music, man. I think
I've got a good guy, man. I got a great engineer with a great brain.
There you go. A belated happy birthday to you.
Oh, my goodness. They caught up with me, didn't they?
I couldn't stop and call you when I was driving to Sevierville, Tennessee with a load of JJ's Magic and to a trade show up there, and I said, I got to tell him happy birthday, because I know you ain't as old as me.
Oh, I don't know about that, J.J.
You didn't tell nobody how old you was.
Well, I guess I should be proud of it. I don't know. I'm 73.
Absolutely, brother. God bless you, man.
Well, I'm 73.
I am, too, and my next birthday, I'll be 74, and that's November 2nd.
So. Oh, my goodness. Well, you're just
put
about
it in the phone so you can text me, and I can text you back. Who is this?
Yeah, who is that? Hey, I'll put you in after I got the message.
Oh, me.
All right, how's business for JJ's Magic? Now, JJ's Magic is a dye that you use on plastics, right?
A dye and a garlic fish attractant.
There you go.
We took 6,200 bottles up there to Pitt Creek. It was a fantastic show, had a lot of fun, and good Lord has blessed us, and just enjoy working just like you.
Yeah, mighty fine. It's always good to hear from you, JJ.
You take care. God bless you, and good fishing.
You're very kind, and I appreciate you calling, and I always appreciate your friendship, and I'll see you soon. Right now, here's Hank the Yank, and what's he got to say today?
What have I got to say, man? I was watching an old movie just now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you a line from the movie, and I bet you will get it from the one line I give you.
Go.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Son, that's napalm. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yes, that was Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now.
That's right. That was a crazy movie, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, produced by a real knucklehead.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, you betcha.
So, anyway, last time we spoke, I was in the motherland.
Yeah, I saw all your photos, man, right there in front of the Empire State Building. You're catching bluefish and stripers, huh?
Yeah, we had a big day. If I tell you, O'Neill, we went up the river. We fished, I don't think we fished 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say we caught somewhere between 30 and 40 striped bass and bluefish.
Never saw another boat fishing, did you?
There was actually two other boats up there.
How about that?
There were two other boats up there, but, you know, we had the ferries coming by and helicopters landing in the heliports and traffic and, you know, on the FDR Drive, and it was just, it's unbelievable. It's really a special thing when you get to see that.
Oh, yes, it is.
Fishing in the concrete jungle.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's what a surprise. Anybody would, if they hadn't been exposed to it, they wouldn't believe it.
They wouldn't believe it. That's mm-hmm. the playground in New York that you could land in New York, go out for a world-class meal, take in a Broadway show, and catch a bunch of striped bass all within the same day.
Taking
a cab from one to the other.
And be able to view and appreciate, at least momentarily, one of the architectural monuments of the last 1,000 years.
I don't know what you're talking. Are you talking about the Statue of Liberty or the Brooklyn Bridge?
The Brooklyn Bridge.
There you go. Yeah.
When you think about that, and that's one of my great books that I've read of late, written by John McCullough, that you think about the Brooklyn Bridge was dedicated in 1884. And it's still operating.
Still operating. It's unbelievable.
Built during the Civil War.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, an engineering marvel. All right, tell us quickly about the trout fishing. What's going on? Are stripers on the surface? About time, isn't it?
I'm going out looking today. I've got a trip, my first trip of the new season. You know, my season starts, I go basically October to May.
Mm-hmm.
For Lanier, that's my season, really end of October to May. So I've got a trip tomorrow, so we're going to go looking for some top water this morning and see if we can't nail a few. The fish, if you're looking for top water fishing right now, the fish are more than likely going to be eating bluebacks. They're not on those itty bitty shad yet. We want them to get on those itty bitty shad, because when fish school on threadfin, they stay up longer. When they're on herring, they tend to scatter quicker. A school of herring, when they get marauded by striped bass, tend to try and scatter and go in different directions, where a school of shad, when they're getting marauded by striped bass, get into a tighter and tighter school and stay near the surface. So it's actually better if you can find fish on those itty-bitty shad, but unfortunately right now those fish are on bluebacks. So
that's a great observation.
Well, and it's true. And the other thing that's interesting is the shad tend to do better on the surface on overcast days, and the bluebacks tend to do better on sunny mornings. So that's one thing we notice. So, you know, me being a fly fisherman, and, you know, I love taking guys out with a fly rod. When I'm looking for surfacing fish and I know that they're on bluebacks, I keep a spinning rod with a topwater plug available to me, mm-hmm. because I just know that I'm not going to probably get the opportunities to get close to those fish in time before they go down. They go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. Where when they're on those baby threads, they stay up a longer time. So there's a much better opportunity for the fly angler. So we've got to let it get a little colder for that bite to really take effect, probably 2 to 3 weeks away.
All right, let me interrupt you, because I want our audience, that is, to learn something, and I'm going to ask you a question. Why is it then that the sunny day blueback is better than the cloudy day threadfin? Why would the blueback be up on a sunny day versus cloudy? I'm looking for an answer.
You're looking for an answer? Well, huh? Hold on. Let me see if I can get Mac on the phone, because I can't answer that question. I don't know why they said. Do you know why?
It's because the blueback feeds on the algae bloom from the sunlight.
Oh, okay. It's the algae bloom on the sunny days.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. I just knew that, that pattern existed.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
exactly
it's very
right.
obvious, by the way.
You
so
bet.
Because of the algae. Oh, I've got something to talk to my customers
That's
about.
That's right. You can now. Teach your customers that today. It's the algae bloom.
Whether you're watching O'Neill outside on TV or you listen on the radio, you can always learn something.
Who's your favorite outdoor show host?
Mac Farr. No.
Oh.
My favorite outdoor my favorite
outdoor host.
You know who I happen to love. You know I'm a huge fan of Flip Pallet and the Walker's K Chronicle.
Yeah, he's a writer.
He's a writer. That is almost poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Burning into the film. That's my all time favorite.
Well,
I will tell you, you're a close second.
Well, you're very kind, and I wasn't looking for that.
Second.
But nobody said Flip Pallet yet. But I can understand why, because
yeah,
he is a poet.
I am a huge fan of Flip Pallet, and I'll tell you locally. Besides yourself, locally, I'll tell you who does a great job down here. Is Cephas McRae in the
Yes, he does.
Fishing.
He does
a really, really good job. He's got no ego,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I love about you and Cephas together is that there's no ego involved. When you watch some of these other shows, and there are a bunch of these big name guys out there, which I would rather not discuss, but you can just tell the ego there is massive. And with you guys, you're really out there to tell the audience, look what can be done when you take a professional out.
You know
and,
something?
And just love that.
Henry, it's just a fishing show. It's just an outdoor show. It matters not.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, boy, I got to go. Have a great weekend.
You too, pal.
See you later soon. All right, mighty fine. Now let's talk to John. He's on I-85, I believe, traveling around here and there. So what's going on with you, sir?
Morning.
Morning.
I have a question. You had answered this about a month ago, but I was on the road and I lost the radio station before I heard your answer.
Uh-huh.
It's talking about the rut between does in Georgia and Alabama.
Okay.
I mean, the question come up last week in my mind because I was traveling in Alabama and I saw a doe. I mean, I saw a fawn that was hit on the side of the road, and I mean, it was pretty small.
Yeah. Okay, here you go.
Okay.
When the Georgia whitetails were restocked, they came from different areas of the country in which the rut traditionally was a November-December rut.
Okay.
And so it still is. In Alabama, when they chose to restock the state of Alabama, they took an existing herd from way down in southwest Alabama, who, over centuries, had always rutted during January and early February. The reason is that deer in southwest Alabama, the ones that survived were the ones that were born after the spring floods on the Alabama River. So that deer rutted in late January and February because their fawns were born after the spring floods. If they were born before the spring floods, they drowned.
Okay.
So that's the reason that Alabama was stocked with that deer and not something from Wisconsin or Michigan or Indiana or wherever.
Okay.
Interesting,
well,
huh? That's not research. I was told that by the biologist at the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay. Well, when you had mentioned it just a few minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
and I thought you was going to get into it, I thought you was going to answer it for me, and then didn't quite get there. But,
well,
I thank you very much.
You bet. Who's your favorite television outdoor show host?
Oh, besides yourself, it's Michael Wydell.
Oh, yeah. Great enthusiastic and a great guy.
Yeah. Really. I met him at Cabela's grand opening in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
Really super guy.
You bet. He started out as a cameraman for Bill Jordan.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks for calling, John.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. See you soon there, I hope. And Mark is calling from down in Camden County. What do you say, Mark?
Good morning, O'Neill.
When is the rut in Camden County? This is a surprise answer.
Right now.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
October.
Yes, sir. Early October, and I'm breaking my own rules. I'm going up to hunt the farm in Jeff Davis County this morning, then I'm heading to Harris County for this evening and tomorrow morning, and then I'm coming back home and hunting the rest of the week around the house.
They're mighty fine. it sounds like a plan to me.
Yep. That question that guy asked you a minute ago, too, that also explains to me, anyway, why Georgia's got more Boone and Crockett record book bucks than all the rest of the southeastern states combined.
Yeah, because of the source material, huh?
That's right. We picked up good genetics.
You bet. Out of Michigan, Wisconsin, all those big ones up there. But you know something? Over time, that deer will not grow as big as the ones up there. You know why?
Generally, I would imagine because of climate and feed.
That is correct. They have plenty to eat, and it's colder there, so they have to be bigger to survive, and therefore the biggest ones do survive, and therefore the biggest ones fawn or produce other deer.
Yep. I killed a whopper in Wilcox County, which is a pure genetic base, back in 1996. Weighed 327 pounds live weight.
Good grief.
Yeah, he was a monster.
That is a monster indeed. The biggest whitetails in the world come from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Yeah, and that's a different genetic strain even than the ones in Wisconsin and Michigan there.
That's right, exactly. Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like you got a great day planned.
Favorite day of the year.
Yeah.
Actually, favorite week of the year. This is the one day on my calendar that's marked where I don't care what's going on. I don't care if somebody's getting married. You're doing it without me.
You got to make a plan.
Yes, sir.
All right, boy. Hey, listen, have a good, great, safe weekend. This is O'Neill, and I wish you well. And stay in touch, pal. I always enjoy your calls. We'll be back.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams. Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. This week's Medal of Honor recipient brought to you by Hayes Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
Corporal Anthony Casamento, Marine Corps, Solomon Islands, Guadalcanal, November 1942. Serving as a leader of a machine gun section, Corporal Casamento directed his unit to advance along a ridge where they engaged the Japanese. He positioned his section to provide covering fire for two flanking units and to provide direct support for the main force of his company, which was behind him. During the course of the engagement, all members of his section were either killed or severely wounded, and he himself suffered multiple wounds. Nonetheless, Casamento continued to provide critical supporting fire for the attack and in defense of his position. Following the loss of all effective personnel, he set up, loaded, and manned his unit's machine gun, tenaciously holding the enemy forces at bay. Casamento single-handedly engaged and destroyed one machine gun placement to his front and took fire from the other placement on the flank. Despite the heat and ferocity of the engagement, he continued to man his weapon and repeatedly repulsed multiple assaults by the Japanese and holding his position until the arrival of his main attacking force. Anthony Casamento, Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps, and recipient of the Medal of Honor. Let's quickly go to Scott. He's calling from Ackworth just for a couple of minutes. Good morning, Scott. Sorry it took so long to get to you. What's going on?
Good morning. Morning.
Morning.
My question is, how do you hunt the October lull? I've read several articles about it, and I didn't really put much stock into it. I didn't really believe it until I've been hunting this past week. And from September when I hunted, I've seen a lot of deer moving, but this past week I only saw one deer the entire day.
Okay, and number one, they're beginning to really separate now the bachelor groups from the, even more so, the bachelor groups from the females. And number mm-hmm. two, you're starting to get a human encroachment into the woods, and they naturally result that human encroachment into headed more toward a nocturnal and habits.
Okay.
Once a hunting season begins, it takes 3 days for the whitetail to respond to that, and that's what you're getting. Not long from now, the rut's going to take over, and all that subsides. The rut takes over, and then everybody gets active.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes,
hey,
sir.
I'm sorry it took so long to get to you, Scott. Hal, have a great weekend. This is O'Neill outside. Whatever you do, wherever you go, if you're too busy to go fishing and hunting and take a kid along, you're too busy. We'll see you guys next week. All of you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.